Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. And again, today we're going to continue to talk about the unfolding story in the Acts of the Apostles and how the Lord is working through Peter and John and the whole Christian community that's growing, and it's growing really in some ways by leaps and bounds. The gospel's going forward. The Spirit of God is moving. People are repenting. They're coming to receive Jesus as Lord. They're being baptized. Their sins are being forgiven. They're becoming part of the people of God. They're entering into the life of the church and then gathering around the apostles and moving forward together in the mission. They're sharing many things in common, all things in common, it says here in this one passage. The Lord is forming a family, a spiritual family, a body of people who bear his name, who bear his image, who walk in his footsteps. So we left off yesterday with the story of Ananias and Sapphira, both who they lied to Peter about donations and they held them back. And because they lied to God, to Peter and to God and the people of God, they both were struck dead. And it said the fear of the Lord was in the people. In the community. Fear of the Lord, we need it in the life of the church. And if you didn't have a chance to hear yesterday's program, I strongly encourage you to go back, listen to it, download the Renewal Ministries app, and you can access it there at your convenience. Otherwise, you could just go to our website and listen to it as well. But the fear of the Lord comes in deep into the life and the bones and the heart of the community. And boy, we need that right now in the church. And that's why the Lord is allowing the nations to be shaken. The church is being purified. These are very, very dynamic times, times of God's judgment, and God's judgments are good. Isaiah says, I think it's Isaiah 23, verse 6 or 23, verse 9, he said, when God's judgments are in the land, men learn righteousness. They remember God. They turn back to God. They rightly align their hearts to God. They put love in the right order, loving God first above all things and following him. And God allows judgments to happen to remove everything that stands in the way of that love. And he does it not because he's insecure or whatever. He does it because his commandments are good and they are for our own good. And our eternal good is at stake. So, Lord, may you fill us. And then the reading in chapter 5 goes on and talks about, here's a description of what's happening in the community. Now many signs and wonders were done among the people by the hands of the apostles, and they were all together in Solomon's portico. None of the rest dared join them, but the people held them in high honor, and more than ever believers were added to the Lord. Multitudes of men and women were added. May that happen today, so that they were carried out, so that they even carried out the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and pallets, that as Peter came by, at least his shadow might fall on some of them. The people also gathered from the towns around Jerusalem, bringing the sick and those afflicted with unclean spirits, and they were all healed. Now, this is a nightmare to the council of Israel, who just a few days earlier, a short time earlier, told Peter, stop speaking about Jesus, Peter and John. Stop your workings of miracles and all the rest of it. Just stop. Now, here they are again. The apostles are imprisoned this time and brought before the council. So there's a high cost to being a disciple. It costs something to fulfill the mission of Jesus. And one of the things the Lord is training and teaching all of us who are here in the church, and he's bringing to our memory these readings, I hope, and preparing us for, is Christianity's pretty easy if we just live in this kind of friendship with the world, in America, that is, in the prosperity of America and the comforts and the distractions and the ease, and everybody likes us. And well, it's all changing now. It's going to keep changing, and the cost increases. We have to go to school here with the apostles and watch how they behave, what happens to them, how they respond, how they speak, what they do. They're the models for us. It said, but the high priest rose up and all who were with him, that is the party of the Sadducees, and were filled with jealousy. They arrested the apostles and put them in the common prison. But at night, an angel of the Lord came and opened the prison doors and brought them out and said, go and stand in the temple. An angel is a messenger one sent by the Lord. The apostles have been imprisoned. The religious leaders are trying to shut them down, prevent them from speaking. And the Lord sends a messenger and he releases them. He doesn't say, hey, run quick. You can get away. Go hide. He opens it and then says, now go and stand in the temple, the very place they were not supposed to go, and speak to the people all the words of this life, capital L it has here. Speak to all the people. Who's in the temple? The Jewish people are in the temple. There's some Gentiles there too, but it's primarily Jewish people. Go and stand there and tell the Jewish people, the people of Israel, about this life. Christianity, friends, is a new life. It's not just a philosophy. It's not a new way of praying. You know, it's not just the Bible, or it's not just the sacraments. All those things are good things, especially Bible and sacraments in terms of sources. But Christianity is fundamentally a new life in the Spirit, becoming a new creation. That's what's on offer in Christianity. Not just vague energy or just healing. It's you need new life. God has come to save you and give you a share in his own life, which will allow you to pass from death to life and live with God forever if you die in the Lord. In verse 21, it says, and when they heard this, they entered the temple at daybreak and they began to teach. Okay, now the high priest want them brought in. It's reported that the guards come and say, look, they're not there, but the doors are still shut. Something happened. We can't explain it. Of course, these guys are in big trouble for letting them out. It says, the men who you put in prison are standing now in the temple and they're teaching the people. Because can you imagine? Well, if they're not there, then where are they? And the guards say, well, they're actually in the temple again. They're right back where they were, where we arrested them. Then the captain of the officers went and brought them, but without violence, for they were afraid of being stoned by the people, because the people were wanting to hear the word of God, and they knew the apostles were the real deal. And now they get brought in before the council. Those are all the chief priests and rulers of the people of Israel. And it says here in verse 28, chapter 5 of Acts, it says, we strictly charged you not to teach this name. Yet here you filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you intend to bring this man's blood on us now. You can just see their blood's boiling. But Peter and the apostles answered, we must obey God rather than men. Is this a statement, church, today in America and around the world? Is this what's in your heart? Is this your conviction? All kinds of people are starting to emerge to say, you shouldn't have a voice because you're a hateful person. You're a bad person. You're a bigoted person or whatever, right? It's all meant to intimidate people into silence. And what the Lord allows this kind of challenge to happen because it reveals where we actually are. It is a real grace, actually, to receive that kind of opposition. I mean, none of us want it. But when it comes, it's a grace. Like, what is it that makes you tick? What's your first love? What's going on in you? What is it that you believe? Do you love your own life more than God? Or do you fear men more than you fear God? What is it that's in you? And that'll show us whether we're ready to die or not. Because we do not want to die living in the fear of men, trembling. Because, you know, it says right in the book of Revelation that cowards don't enter the kingdom of heaven. If we're afraid, Jesus said, if you're afraid to acknowledge me before men, I will not acknowledge you before my Father in heaven. The stakes are high. And so Peter's just so direct. He knew what they were coming after him for. We must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. So what did Peter do? Did he go quiet? Did he try to work a deal? No. He used this unique opportunity. When the rulers and the council and the soldiers and everybody's there, they're trying to intimidate the apostles and to get them to stop. And they're doing their best. They're just like breathing fire. And then Peter said, we're not going to obey you. Not on this. We must obey God. On this, what you're telling us to do, God has a different opinion. And he has spoken, and we will obey him no matter what the cost. And then he has their attention. They're all listening to him, so he preaches the gospel, the kerygma. Here he says, the God of our fathers raised Jesus, whom you killed by hanging him on a tree. God our Father raised Jesus. That's the core of it. God raised Jesus from the dead. And God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, and to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. There it is. That's the core message that Christians are meant to bring to the whole world. God raised his son, Jesus Christ, from the dead. He's alive. He's now at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. At his right hand, that means he's sharing in the authority of God the Father. He's leader and he is savior. He was sent to save. And he's the one now that gives repentance and the forgiveness of sins. So you say, what does it mean to be a Christian? What it means to be a Christian is to have received this message, to believe it, internalize it, to repent of our sins, and to be baptized for the forgiveness of those sins, and to become a child of God and enter into the life of the church. And then Peter says, and we are witness to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. There we go. God gives the Holy Spirit to all who obey him. And this obedience Peter's referring to is receiving the Father's plan, obeying the Father to say, I have set my king, my son on the throne. All power and authority belongs to him. Now, repent for the forgiveness of your sins. Receive the sacrifice, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believed in him would not die, but would have everlasting life. Who believed? What does it mean to believe and to love God, to obey his commandments? Whoever obeys the God who is speaking, the only true God, who's following God, receiving the gift of his son, anyone who comes and confesses their sin and says yes to this invitation from Jesus and are baptized, they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Friends, this is Christianity. So in you, if you've been baptized, is the gift of the Spirit. The question is, are you paying attention? Are you praying? Are you speaking to the Holy Spirit? Are you developing a living relationship with the Holy Spirit? Have you learned to hear his voice? Are you asking him to help you understand the word of God? Are you coming into an eternal perspective and a biblical apostolic understanding of the message of God? Because there's a lot being said in the church today and a lot being promoted in the church today that people are calling God and the Holy Spirit. And it's not. It's just not. You cannot promote things that are profoundly offensive to God and call it the voice of the Spirit or call it love, because it's not. There's no love without the truth. There's no truth without God. God defines love and what love is. And the Spirit of God is God's love poured into our hearts to give us the affection for God as our Father and Jesus as our Lord and brother, Savior, and to be able to live with them in the mission of seeking and saving the lost, to go and reach the whole world with God's mercy and the gift of salvation, the free gift that he wants to give to us. Friends, have a blessed weekend.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Ralph Martin's new booklet, Join the Resistance. In this booklet, Ralph gives us a tremendous vision how we can join St. Peter and the apostles who said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. To get this free booklet, you can call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.